This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All right. I want to begin, of course, in the name of our Creator, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala nabihi al-Ameen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla wa anta taj'alu al-hazna idha shi'ta sahla. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Allahumma 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilman ya rabbal 'alamin. Amin. All right. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, I mean, it's a great honor to be back here with you guys. I really love this community. May Allah bless you and preserve you and continue to grow the community and bless your children to be the next generation of the leaders of America. Amin ya rabbal 'alamin. All right, so alhamdulillah, today we are back for the conversation about, in Jum'ah we spoke about what? Paradise was definitely at the end, but the main topic, yes, the Day of Judgment, right? And we focused on the tarheeb part, so the ad-da'wah ila Allah, or preaching to Allah, or convincing others or each ourselves to go on the path of Allah. It's mainly two parts. It's a targhib wa tarhib. It's the hope and fear, right? And increasing our hope in Allah's mercy and reward. And also, the opposite end of it is increasing our fear in His punishment and being worthy of that punishment, right? So the main topic, our main focus this weekend would be the tarhib part of it, which is the increasing our fear in a healthy dose, reasonable, but in a managed way. And sometimes that's not focused on often enough in our culture here as American Muslims. Because it's good to be positive, and it's good to prioritize, which we should, Allah's mercy, wasi'at kulla shay. Rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. Allah's mercy is greater than all things. That is Allah's words, right? And Allah's mercy overcomes His wrath, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's Allah's gift to us and to all of mankind. And Allah has broken His mercy down into 100 parts, and He has sent down how much to this earth? One part. And He reserved 99% of His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the believers in the akhirah. May Allah ta'ala make us amongst them. So this is the most hopeful thing I can hear. 99% of Allah's mercy is awaiting the believers in the akhirah. It gives me some peace in my heart and my soul, but we still have to be worthy of earning it. Or rather, earning it is not the right word. We have to be worthy of being gifted it. Because ultimately, Allah gives it as a gift. But you have to be humble and broken down in front of Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be worthy of receiving that gift of mercy from the Creator. May Allah make us all worthy of it, and our families, and our loved ones. So today, we spoke in the... thank you. We spoke earlier about the Day of Judgment. Now we're going to speak about the signs of the Day of Judgment. And those are two separate topics entirely. So the signs, the Day of Judgment occurs after death. The signs, all of them occur in this life, in this dunya, correct? So they're connected, but they're two different topics. So before I get started, what is the concept of the signs of the Day of Judgment? Can somebody explain it in one sentence? The signs of the Day of Judgment. Who said it? Prophecies, yes. So what is a prophecy? What does the word, if you have to, define prophecy for your test. What does prophecy mean? An event foretold by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's where you get the word prophet, and that's where you get the word prophecy. And what is prophet in Arabic? Nabi. We have Rasul and Nabi. Rasul means messenger, the one who delivers the message. That's why you could say Rasulu Rasulillah. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would send one of the companions with a task, and he would say, "Ana rasulu rasulillah." I am the messenger of Allah. They felt it was a very honorable thing to say, but he literally meant, "I'm just the messenger. I'm delivering a message." But he is the messenger of Allah. He is delivering the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there, we call the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all of the messengers. They are rasul because they received the risala, they received the message, but they are also a prophet, a nabi. And Nabi comes from the same way that prophet comes from the word prophecy. Nabi comes from the word Naba or Nubuwa. Nubuwa, right? Nubuwa meaning prophethood. But that also comes from a root. You can also go back further, which comes to the word Naba. Amma yatasa'alun an al-Naba al-Azim. What are they questioning about? What is everybody arguing about? An al-Naba al-Azim. about the big news, the major news, the biggest news humanity ever received in history and will ever receive. And what is that Naba' al-Azim? Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment, the Akhirah, that this life is not, you don't just live and die and you eat a little bit and you die. It's a big deal, Naba'un Azim. So Allah uses that phrase, Naba'un Azim, several times in the Quran. Naba', literally, if you go to an Arabic dictionary, it just means news. The one who delivers the news, the one who received the news and delivers it is the Prophet. Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now you know some background, why we say Rasul, why we say Nabi. The reason why we call them Nabi or Prophet, and the reason why whoever translated prophecy as the information that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had about future events. Notice he didn't just say, and sometimes also past events, but Naba is usually focused on future. Because there's one specific sort of characteristic of this news that specifies that they become a prophet. Because I can come from, you know, New York and tell you, hey, I have some news about what happened in New York. I'm not a Nabi. I'm just a guy who knows something that happened there, even though it's technically Naba. The prophets, the prophecies, are news or information that this human being could not have possibly known except if they received it from God. That's what makes them, they get a title. You are a prophet. You receive revelation, you receive information that you could not and should not have possibly known. And the only conclusion after we put all the data together, after the news comes true, long after the Prophet ﷺ has passed away and left the world, then the only conclusion to say is this person received this naba', this news from God. Okay? يُنَبِّئُكُمْ عَنِ الْمَاضِي وَعَنِ الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ. He informs you about the past that he could not have known. How could he have known things that happened 1,000 years ago? The specific interactions between Yusuf alayhi salam and his brothers, right? And the specific interaction between Yusuf alayhi salam and the woman who tried to seduce him and the conversations they had. How did he know? وَجَاءَتْهُمْ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءِ. When Prophet Musa alayhi salam, before he married his wife, when they interacted, Allah said she walked towards him to tell him to come speak to her father. And she walked with a very modest walk. There was two human beings on the planet who were had that interaction. And Allah revealed it to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to tell us about that interaction because it's of value to us. So he informs us about the past that he could not have possibly known, and he informs us about the future that he could not have possibly known. And the thing that we can verify both. When the Prophet ﷺ said, one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is that Jaziratul Arab, the Arabian Peninsula, you guys are familiar with it, what will happen to it? Well, earthquake, yes, that's one of the last signs of the Day of Judgment. Landslide is one of the last signs as well. But before that is it will return green. Murujan wa anhara kama kanat, aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Arabian Peninsula, authentic hadith. One of the signs of the Day of Judgment, the Prophet ﷺ said the Arabian Peninsula, which is Mecca, Medina, and you know, Saudi Arabia, roughly, will become green and with rivers, lush and with rivers. And then he said something very specific here. He said, as it used to be. Say again? Well, I can't hear that, sorry. Oh, idol worship, yes. There's another sign of the Day of Judgment that the Arabs will return. Some Arabs will return to worship, not just pagan idols specifically. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allat wal Uzza specifically. Two idols that existed in pre-Islamic Arabia that have not been worshipped for 1400 years. And guess what I saw on the internet? And you can see it with your own eyes, videos. There are some Arabs, Saudis, who have set up shrines, not just some statues you've seen in the desert for art. No, they've set up shrines for Allat and Al-Uzza specifically. And they have said in their video, you could watch it, they're talking to you. They said, it's time to bring back our ancestry and our heritage that Islam removed. A'udhu billah. The first time in 1400 years. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied this 1400 years ago. He said, the Day of Judgment will not come. The sa'ah, the hour, will not come until some of the Arabs go back to worshipping these particular gods. SubhanAllah. But I want to go back to the prophecy about Arabia will return to being green and lush with rivers. And then he said, as it used to be. This specific hadith, or this specific prophecy, is so beautiful and so powerful in that it informs us about the past and the future. So it's two miracles. Something, when the Prophet ﷺ, his whole life, Arabia was nothing but desert. Now, Allah has honored me. I lived in Mecca for 8 years. In those 8 years, we had maybe 8 rainfalls. That's it. We get rain in Mecca once a year. And our average rainfall precipitation, whatever you call it, is So who knows here in Pennsylvania, what's the average rainfall per year? How many inches do you get? Anybody here, like hunters or, you know, farmers? Huh? Oh, it's a lot, Michelle, Tabakala. I'm from New York, and we're all, you know, neighbors. And I know for New York the number because I was curious and I looked it up because, you know, in Mecca, when you live in Mecca long enough, you start really craving rain. And you start really understanding when the Arabs would go out and say, "Hada aradun mumtiruna," which is in the Quran. They would go out. When we lived in Mecca, like honestly, if we were in the middle of class, and these are students of knowledge with a sheikh teaching, if it started raining, they would pause the class. Everybody would go outside. I swear, and everybody would just sit, and then you'd go outside, you'd find everybody, the men, women, and children, people close their shops, people in suits, and just like letting it hit your body. Once a year, you get rain, maybe twice. So in New York, I'm pretty sure Pennsylvania is very similar. It's 40 inches of rainfall per year on average. Mashallah, Northeast America, we have very blessed opportunities and arable land. We have a lot of gifts and fresh water resources. We have a lot of gifts over here. 40 inches. With that number in mind, how many inches do you think Mecca gets per year? 4 inches. 7. It's 0.5. Half an inch. Half an inch per year of rainfall. I'm talking about Mecca specifically, not Arabia. Other parts of Arabia, mashallah, they get rain. Mecca, it's a desert, it's a dry desert. When the Prophet ﷺ is saying, this place used to be rivers and lush, he said, Murujan wa anhara, it was lush, it was a rainforest, basically, is what he's saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can imagine the people saying at that time, what are you talking about? Like this is, you could have just at least said it had some grass, but you're saying it was a rainforest, lush, and that he said that. That's what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It used to be that way, and guess what? It will be before the Day of Judgment. Now, people have seen pictures, people have been sharing pictures of like Mecca becoming green. So Allah blessed me to make Umrah at the beginning, well, now it's last year, January of 2024. And I was only there for a week. And in my entire time living there, I have never seen the mountains, because the mountains, when the rain falls, it becomes green. That happens every year. But because we get rain once a year, it becomes green for a week, and then that's it, it dies out. And it becomes very lightly green, like it's not lush. Last year, I left in 2017, so it's, subhanAllah, almost a decade now, subhanAllah azim. So it's been a long time. I've never seen it as green as I saw it last year, January of last year. And yes, I know we went in January, which is the winter. So yes, that's when the rain falls. But it's still like, I've never seen that. And I lived there. I passed by those mountains daily. And I said, subhanAllah, it's on the way. It's on the way. Another sign is that, you know how they said the fossil fuels, which Arabia is the centerpiece of, where do fossil fuels, like what are they made of? What have they always told us? So you guys know better. It's trees. I was always taught it was dinosaurs. I mean, hey, I don't know. Maybe I'm Ahmed, we went to the wrong schools. Didn't they tell us it was dinosaurs? Yeah, all growing up, they said it was dinosaur bones, right? And they've switched. The theory's changed. Now the kids get taught it's all trees. So if you're saying the biggest deposit of trees that turned into fossil fuels was in Arabia, that means it was lush and green. It was a rainforest once upon a time. And also they've done aerial photographs and they see the old places where rivers used to be in Arabia, al-Rub' al-Khali, the empty quarter. The proof is and like it's pretty much, as far as I understand, unanimous that region was a rainforest once upon a time. So the second part of the hadith, it's yet to come, but I'm just as convinced. Just as we found out about the past, we will see the future if Allah gives us life. Wallahu a'lam. So that's just a powerful, powerful, that's one prophecy out of hundreds that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us about the impending end of the world. So before we get too excited, these are all signs that the world is ending. So it's not it's scary, and it's meant to be scary because that we'll talk about the function of that fear. So I have a question for you to start us. Are we in the end times? Who says yes, raise your hand. And who says no? Okay, does anybody want to like give some thoughts on your thesis, why you say yes or no? You said no, right? Okay. Okay. So you know that before the Day of Judgment that the Muslims will be fewer, and in fact one hadith specifically also says the Arabs will be very few in number as well. So okay, that's a good thesis, okay. Thoughts, brother? You said yes. Okay. The tallest buildings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's also another prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Okay. So you are all, each. I love that you are all basing your thoughts on authentic prophecies of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's not just, oh, I feel like it. That's good. That's a great sign. That's where we should start. Yes, bro. Okay. So you said, no, we're not in the end time yet because of that. Alayhi salam, yeah. Okay, great. Great, yes, brother. Yes, the Prophet said, بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةَ كَهَتَيْنَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said, I was sent, and the hour will follow me like this. And he made this hand signal. I don't know if it shows up here. Yeah, he did. It shows up. He said, like this. So he said, my risala, me being sent, and my death, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will be signs of the day of judgment. So, and then he said, I was sent, and the hour will be sent after me like this. Meaning, obviously, it's been 1400 years since, 1450 roughly, right? But he's talking in a general sort of sphere in the history of the world, in the history of nations. And we'll give a hadith about that as well. So, okay, so I mean, I'm glad we had mixed thoughts about that, because it's hard to define what do you mean by end times. So if you're saying the last nation, the last ummah, then of course, there will be no ummah after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummah. It's the ummah of Muhammad, there's no prophet after him. The only one that returns is Isa alayhi salam, but he returns as a member of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? And a leader, the righteous leader, who will lead us to victory and peace and prosperity, inshallah. And he will unite the people of the book, the sincere ones, with the believers, the Muslims as well. But yeah, there's no prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we are the end times in that regard, based on that very obvious, very clear-cut hadith of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, that's the broader version of like, well, the last nation can last 2,000 years or whatever number, right? As we are, you know, we're at 1,400, it can go on. But the more specific definition of, well, end times, if we are to give it a number, are we in the last 100 years of the world? The answer to that is Allahu alam. Nobody can ever say with certainty, never. And our brother mentions a very poignant point where Brother Uthman had said earlier about Prophet Isa alayhi salam, when he returns, he's expected to stay up to 40 years and live a natural life and die a natural death. So that's almost two generations right there. So some people say, well, Jesus is not back, so I'm good. You know, like I got 40, 50, 60 years. However, we'll talk now about major and minor signs, because there is a function to learning this stuff. It's very important. There's a reason why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or sorry, Jibreel rather, when he came in the famous hadith, when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him about أخبرني عن الإيمان, عن الإسلام والإيمان والإحسان. He said, teach me about Islam, and teach me about Iman, teach me about Ihsan, which is the highest level of Iman. Then he said, teach me about the Day of Judgment and its signs. So he's asking about, he's pairing this with Islam and Iman and Ihsan. It means it's important. It's important to know, right? It's listed there. And that's where the hadith about the Arab Bedouins building the tallest buildings and competing. يَتَطَوَّلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. The Prophet Jibreel alayhi salam told the Prophet said to Jibreel alayhi salam, the you will see the desert Bedouins competing in building tallest buildings, and they're barefoot shepherds. So it was very contradictory. Wait, barefoot shepherds building the tallest buildings, and they're desert Bedouins, they're usually the last people to have those means, have the wealth, and have the ability to do such a thing. It's the last thing you can expect. It's such a contradictory, paradoxical experience. You can experience tall buildings in, like, if he said in the Roman Empire at that time, or Byzantine Empire, or the Persian Empire, you say, okay, I can see them getting there. They already have the mausoleums and the palaces. But the desert Bedouins, they had nothing. They had roofs made out of like tree bark. And he said, no, you're going to see them. And he described them as the desert Bedouins who are shepherds, and they will be barefoot, hufatan. And like, you go, I live there. And like, I know this is a very literalistic translation of the hadith, but they are literally barefoot. Everyone's wearing ship over there. Everyone's wearing like flip-flops. And these are the richest billionaires, trillionaires, you know. And they got buildings now. They just announced literally a few weeks ago. I forgot where in Saudi Arabia. Or was it one of the Gulf countries? They're now building Burj Khalifa, that was the tallest. And then there's Jeddah Tower, which is still in construction. They just announced a taller one. And like, they've started construction. It's exactly what the hadith says. Like, word for word, copy, carbon copy. So the Prophet ﷺ warned us that these things would happen. And he told us, look, these things will happen at the end of times. And the more of the signs that you see, the closer we are to the world ending and the story being finished. Every story has a final chapter. We don't know for sure if we are in the absolute final chapter. In fact, we know that we aren't because there are 10 major signs that have not come, which we'll talk about in a second. But the more and more we see of everything we just mentioned and hundreds more, the closer we get there. As the minor signs sort of like start running out, meaning you see all of them occur, that just means that the major signs are right around the corner. Okay? All right. So the question, are we in the end times? It's not easy to answer it with a direct yes or no, but you should have an awareness of it as a Muslim. Because when Allah sends us these signs in the Quran, which He did, Allah tells us about Ad-Dabba, Dabbatun min al-Ard, the beast, which is also found in Christianity and Judaism. And Allah told us about Ya'juj and Ma'juj in the Quran, Gog and Magog, which is also found in Judaism and Christianity. And Allah told us about Ad-Dajjal, and Allah told us about Isa, wa innahu la'alamun lis-sa'ah, and so on and so forth. They are in the Quran. So if it's in the Quran and in the hadith, authentic hadith, then it's important for us to know. But beware of somebody who's telling you for certain. And there are videos like that online, people who we don't know their credentials, they're random videos with a lot of very well done, very good graphics, very good music, and like it's, you know, like a movie. It gets you really pumped. And they tell you things for certain, and this person's hiding in a cave and this and that. And you're like, you believe it because it's very well made. But beware. Which leads me to the very important question. Before I phrase it this way. When you hear about a sign of the Day of Judgment, or the ones that you just told me yourself, what made you believe that and accept it as an authentic, a true sign of the Day of Judgment? When you told me that Arabia, they'll compete in tall buildings, when you told me that Arabia will return green, or that 10 have it, you're reassured because, well, the 10 ones haven't started yet. What makes you so confident that those are even reliable? Yes. They are sourced to one of two sources, which is number one, Quran. And number two, hadith. And we have to specify authentic hadiths of our Prophet ﷺ, meaning we can verify with some confidence that the Prophet ﷺ actually said this. All right? That's why I put that caveat. So yes, I cannot insist enough. And that's why I gave that whole introduction about Naba. Who gives the news? And Nabi gives the news, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if it's anybody else, they have to justify their news. If somebody tells you, our Muslim leader will come and he's hiding in a cave right now, and he will show up one day, I'll tell them, I have no problem accepting that if I can find it in Quran or authentic hadith. Is that a fair statement from me? That's 100% fair. If somebody told me there will be a mountain of gold in Egypt before the Day of Judgment, I have no problem accepting that. I'd like that. But I won't accept it until you can confirm that somebody who has news, somebody who I can believe can tell me about the future, told me. It has to be from Allah. And the only one, Allah, لا يظهر على غيبه أحدا إلا من ارتضى من رسول. Allah says in the Quran, He does not allow anybody to see the ghaib, except, Allah gave one exception, إِلَّا مَنْ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولِ, except the ones He has selected amongst His messengers. He gives, not all the messengers had all the news and all information. Is every messenger of Allah عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ? They know everything that of the unseen? No. Allah gave them the knowledge, some of the unseen. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, when Jibreel asked him, and Jibreel was disguised, he told him, مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ أَعْلِمُ بِهَا مِنَ السَّائِلِ? He told him, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me about the hour. He said, the person asking is the person being asked is not doesn't know more than the person asking. So when people tell you, well, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew everything, well, hear him, he is saying himself, I don't know. And Allah says in the Quran, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. What's the next ayah? فِيمَ أَنْتَ مِنْ ذِكْرَاهَا إِذَا رَبِّكَ مُنْتَهَاهَا. They ask you about the hour, when is it? Allah says, respectfully, I say that respectfully as me, but who is the Prophet to tell them that? And the phrasing may be disrespectful. May Allah forgive me for the translation there. But it is Allah who will tell them. The Prophet ﷺ very clearly said, I don't know. And only Allah knows al-ghayb, the entirety of it, right? So I say this why, especially to the young people who we get most, you know, the young people get most of their news from TikTok and this and that and the other, right? And sometimes it can be of value. But very often it can be a double-edged sword. It can be a curse. It can be a blessing and a curse, because a lot of people, if the video is well made and the person is speaking very confidently, that's enough. That's convincing. And they take it as fact. But that's not enough. the person needs to justify any belief that they've had, especially about akhirah, about the end of times, about signs. You have to justify it with Quran or Sunnah, period. Otherwise, I will not accept it. And beware, 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 brothers and sisters. I cannot insist enough, as the times, the Day of Judgment draws near, which it is. As technology is getting, you've seen the videos, not just me. We talked about it before, and now it's gotten so much more advanced since we saw it. People now make videos of Ronaldo talking with an Egyptian accent. You seen those? Maybe just my feed. It's hilarious, but it's very scary. What happens if tomorrow they give you, who's a sheikh that you respect online, that you listen to? Sheikh Muhammad Shinawi. Rabbana yahfadhu wa yubarik fih. So may Allah protect him and bless him. What if, the thing is, you can meet him in person and verify if he said something or not. Give me somebody that you don't meet. One, Sheikh Yasir Qadi, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect him. If a video comes tomorrow of him preaching and it looks 1,000% authentic, and he gives you a false sign of the Day of Judgment, God forbid, or he says this or that, he says enough wrong things that are just, they're not so wrong that you say, what is this? Because that's they give it away. They change it piece by piece. That's what they did for the Jewish scripture and the Christian scripture. They never changed it 1,000% at a time. People notice immediately. Rather, they change it word for word. And it's a whole history. But there's a modern Bible that's only 30 years old called the Scofield Bible, where it promoted the modern, actually it's like 50, more than 30 years old, 50 to 100. And it promotes the modern state of Israel, and it was well funded by the Zionists and this and that. And the way that the subtle changes that they make is so fascinating. And now finally people are realizing, after the damage is done, where they never change it in a major way, because people will notice. My point is, if that video comes out and it's your favorite sheikh, and you cannot see any flaw in this video, and they start saying things they cannot trace back to Quran and Sunnah, how well will you recognize it? How much of a critical thinker are you, where you say, even if I respect this sheikh, with all due respect, he's not God, and he's not the Rasul, and he can make mistakes. And this could be a fake, because that's the world we live in now. He needs to be able to justify it from Quran and Sunnah. Okay? I'm giving you this warning because we are entering the era where the Prophet ﷺ said there will be many Dajjals before the real Dajjal. There will be many deceivers before the great deceiver, the worst deceiver. And those deceivers will have followings. And in my country of origin, in Egypt, and in many of your countries of origins, and in here in America, in churches, there are preachers who say basically whatever they want, and they get very mystical, and they say, God, you have to follow me. God came to me in a dream, and he said, this will happen, and you will get this prosperity. And people chase after these people. They follow them, and they give them all their money, they give them all their trust, all their loyalty, and they're leading them to the hellfire. May Allah protect us. Never ever, Imam al-Shafi'i, rahmahullah. Imam al-Shafi'i said, if I saw a man walking on water in front of my eyes, or yatiru fi sama, or I saw him flying through the sky in front of my eyes, I would still reject anything he said if he could not source it back to Quran and Sunnah. This is Imam al-Shafi'i, rahmahullah. And so that's how we believe. I don't care what you tell me. I don't care what magic tricks you have. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ad-Dajjal, the great deceiver, the Antichrist, the worst fitna that humanity will ever face, he will appear to bring back a person's mother and father back to life. You know this hadith? Authentic hadith, Sahih Bukhari, if I'm not mistaken. He said he will tell several men. He will tell the first man, he will tell him, if I bring back your mother and father, and they tell you, oh my son, we are back from the dead, this is God, and worship him, bow to him for Dajjal. Will you worship me? And the man will say yes. And so Dajjal will bring two jinn, and they will take the appearance of his mother and father as he sees them. And they will say, oh my son, my dear son, we know we were wrong, worship this man. And he will worship him, and he'll be taken to hell. And he will say this to another man. And this is the authentic hadith in Bukhari, if I'm not mistaken. He says to him, here is your mother and father. And he will bring him his deceased parents, the appearance of them, of course. He cannot bring them back from the dead, actually. And they will say, oh, my beloved son, worship this man. He is God. He is your savior. And this man will say, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. You are a trick of the devil. And Prophet Muhammad SAW warned me that this would happen. And Dajjal will kill him. And he will be a shaheed and go to paradise. So this man, may Allah give us that strength of iman, this man was not fooled. He was not fooled by the emotional blackmail. The man didn't just bring anybody. He didn't tell him, I'll give you $10 million. He said, I'll bring back the two people you love the most, your parents, who tell you please, and they plead with you and they cry to you. That's going to, and it'll be as real as day in front of this person. It won't look like he'll feel it like it's real. And he still had the iman and the strength to say what Imam Shafi'i said. I don't care what you bring me. Bring it Quran and Sunnah, otherwise I will reject you even if you kill me. And those are the shuhada. May Allah Ta'ala give us that strength of iman in those difficult times. So beware. If the person cannot source it back to Quran and Sunnah, I don't want it. I don't care what you say. I don't care how many people believe it. 10 billion people believe it. It doesn't matter to me. Bring me Quran or bring me Sunnah. The only one who can tell me about the unseen is Allah and His approved messengers. Illa man irtada min rasul. So the Prophet ﷺ gave us a criteria that there are minor signs and major signs. Ashratu sa'a al-sughra wa ashratu sa'a al-kubra. The minor signs, they are called minor for a reason. I have some differences here. And then the major signs. I'll start with the major. Major signs, the reason why they're called major is because they're big signs. They're big events, very specific events that occur. The first of the major signs, with some dispute, but it's most likely, wallahu alam, the very first of the major signs, is Ad-Dajjal himself. Dajjal comes before Jesus Christ, before Isa alayhi salam returns, because Isa returns to fight Dajjal and kill him and bring peace back to the world. So the major signs are very obvious, very clear-cut, very specific events. And the Prophet ﷺ said, when one of them starts, the next are rapidly one by one by one by one. Now you're correct that when Isa alayhi salam comes, there is like a sort of brief time where there's peace and prosperity, like one generation's worth. But the others, there's a lot of overlap. So Dajjal and Isa and Gog and Magog, they overlap, Isa alayhi salam and so on, right? We'll talk about those. But the 10 major signs, there are only 10, and I got that number from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are 10 major signs, they happen at the very end of the world. If you live to see those signs, then you know that the world is ending in a very, very short time, within one or two generations. May Allah protect us from that. In fact, you can say three generations because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the last generation, there will be no believers left anyway, so may Allah protect us from ever seeing that. It's the end of generations, the worst of people, only the worst of God's creation will remain. So we don't even want to talk about that. We wish never to see that one, so we're not even going to count it. But that is the last generation. So that's the major signs. The minor signs, if the major ones are 10, how many are the minor? There's no number. The Prophet ﷺ did not give a number. There's hundreds. There's hundreds, I would say at the very least tens of authentic, undisputed minor signs. Now the minor signs, why they're called minor, is because they do not give any immediacy. It's not immediate that the Day of Judgment will come. As we said, two of the signs of the Day of Judgment was the Risala, the Prophet ﷺ being sent, and his death was another sign, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the tall buildings, they've been going on for a while, that's another sign. The return, the slow return of Arabia to greenery is another sign. What are some other signs you've heard of? Minor signs of the Day of Judgment. Earthquakes will increase, al-zalazil, wal-fitan, wal-qatl, and death will increase, and war will increase. And the killer will not have no idea why he killed. And the one who was killed will have no idea why he was killed. And mass killing will increase, as we're observing today. People press a button and they kill with a bomb. They drop a bomb on 50 civilians. May Allah Ta'ala punish the oppressor. These are all minor signs. What's some other signs? Say again. Al-fahisha will increase. Corruption and zina and foul behavior between genders will become the standard. SubhanAllah. Time will fly, subhanAllah. Taqarab al-zaman. The Prophet ﷺ just explained it that way. He didn't give more of an example. He said, time will feel a lot shorter and it will come a lot closer together. And that's what we're feeling. I mean, subhanAllah. Yes. Yes. This is a very interesting one. Several hadiths mention different objects will speak to people. So an authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that a man will step outside of his home and his shoelace, shiraku na'lih, or his whip, sawtihi, will speak to him about what's happening at home. In that hadith later, he said also, there will come a time where the animals, as-siba', which is like four-legged beasts that hunt, so like predators, lions and wolves and whatnot, they will speak to, maybe not wolves, but anyway, they will speak to people. Actually, there's another hadith about wolves too. So that has not just yet happened. However, the first one, there's a lot of interpretations, the first part where shiraku na'li, his shoelace or his whip. So in the past, where did they used to keep whips? You know, in the cowboy movies? Where did they store their whip? Right by their hip, right? Right on their hip. So some scholars have mentioned that this is perhaps, it's not referring to a whip specifically, it was referring to the holster or the area where people keep their whips. Their whip would speak to them. Or perhaps it was referring to wires, and that was how the Prophet ﷺ could not say they will have wires and electricity. The Sahaba did not know those words. It would mean nothing. So he said, shiraku na'lih, his shoelace or his whip. Or perhaps we're entering a zone where those things will speak. Like, I mean, we already have the the technology to make a shoelace speak already. I mean, it's already possible. It's just that we don't do it because nobody needs that. But perhaps it was referring to wires, or at the very least, the inanimate objects speaking and being able to tell you what's happening in your home. That's already here, front and center. Wallahu a'lam. Say your phone, you put it right where the whip is. Wires resembling shiraku na'lih, the shoelace specifically. Allahu a'lam. However, the second part of the hadith, which is authentic, has not yet come, although Allahu a'lam how it will. I am just as convinced with every fiber of my being that we will see it, if not in our lifetime, then the next. Wallahu a'lam. That the animals will speak to the people. Wallahu a'lam. What's some other signs? Her master. The mother will give birth to her master, which comes in a lot of interpretations. That's another characteristic of the minor signs, that they are more general, more broad, and they happen over large periods of time, and they're not as easily explained. Some of them are open to interpretation. Some of them are very clear-cut, like the conquest of Constantinople, or the Muslims, the Prophet ﷺ said, the Muslims will sail the ocean as a navy. And that didn't occur until year 90-something, right, after the Prophet ﷺ passed away, and it occurred. So it was, and the Muslims will have this land. Also, the Prophet ﷺ, by the way, here's a hidden one. Many hadiths in which Prophet Muhammad ﷺ speaks about Yemen, and Egypt, and Iraq, and Asham, which is Syria, and Lebanon, and Palestine. He speaks about them as if they are Muslim lands, right? He says, "Iraquna, Allahumma barik lana fi Yemenina wa fi Shamina." Oh Allah, bless our Yemen and bless our Sham. That's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. But Asham and Yemen, during his lifetime, was not a Muslim country, right? We speak about that. We hear these hadiths and we say, oh, it doesn't occur to us that he's speaking just so frankly. Like, these are obviously Muslim countries. They weren't yet. And they took another 100 years to like be cemented. Like, we speak about Egyptians now as if they're Arabs. Egyptians, for the most part, are Arabized in all of North Africa. They're not classical Arabs. I mean, it's a lot of mixture of blood, so there is classic blood there. But Egypt took 200 plus years to become like Arab, primarily Arabic speaking and Muslim. And Egypt wasn't a place of war. It was a place of conversion, mostly, for 200 years. My point is, when the Prophet ﷺ says about a future, one of the prophecies, he says that I'm paraphrasing, it's a long hadith, I don't have the wording with me, that Egypt and Iraq and Asham will be ruined, basically. And they will have less bread and less food, and their umla, their currency will be debased, they'll be ruined. He mentioned those three countries, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Egypt and Sham and Iraq. And you're saying, he's talking about them as if they were the Muslim countries. They weren't at his time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he saw the future. Allah gave him that vision. And they were Muslim, 100% Muslim countries. Now it's like ubiquitous. We cannot unsee these countries as Muslim countries, right? So that's a hidden prophecy there. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Persia will fall and it will become Muslim from then onwards, and so on and so forth. What about that riba? Riba will be so widespread that even those who avoid it will be affected by its dust, right? You know this famous hadith. I mean, you could not have said it more like accurate about our time. Many, many hadiths. So these are all the minor signs of the day of judgment. And there's many more. Yes, wildfires will increase. But there's specifically about the fires, the three fires, those are the major signs. So there's landslides, sorry. Landslides are the major signs, but they're the last, in fact, you know, some scholars don't, like, it's not exactly perhaps the very last one, but there will be a great major, major fire at the very last, the end of times. And I pray that we are not alive to see that one. But that is one of the last signs of the Day of Judgment. It's the very last generation of people. We should not hope to be alive at that time. Now, there's a sign that is very popular that I have not mentioned yet whatsoever. Al-Mahdi. Al-Mahdi. Do Muslims, like, is it authentic to believe in Al-Mahdi? Who says yes? Raise your hand. Who says no? Okay. Yeah, that's good. It is authentic. And we have somebody named Mahdi here, right? That's correct. So we have Al-Mahdi. Al-Mahdi is a title. The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, it is authentic. Al-Mahdi is authentic. Very few scholars have said that they have some dispute. The majority of scholars throughout history have said these hadiths are reliable. There's plenty of them. Now, I say this because our Shia brothers and sisters, may Allah bless them, it is not unjust for me to say, I do have concerns. I do have concerns with a lot of the literature, a lot of the rhetoric that they present about this figure in particular, Al-Mahdi. And my only question, I have some friends who are of that persuasion, And I tell them, my only question, I try to be as respectful as possible. I don't like to create division for the sake of it. But I tell them, all I ask is that you can trace it back to Quran or authentic hadith. That's it. Do not tell me, don't add additional details, because that is a big, big, big problem. That is what the Christians and the Jews did. They added details, and now they threw themselves in the worst pit, the worst sort of trap. The worst possible trap, the trap of kufr and shirk. I'll give you an example. The Muslims, the Jews, and the Christians are all awaiting a Messiah, correct? Yes or no? The Jews, when the Messiah showed up the first time, they rejected him. And now they set themselves up for a trap. They're going to reject him a second time because they rejected him the first time. So now they're locked in and they don't want to leave. The ones who are sincere leave, but those few and far in between. Now the Christians, how do they depict Jesus in our era? Blonde hair, blue eyes. Does that look like Jesus, alayhi salam, from the region he's from? It doesn't look, I mean, even their records don't say that he had redder skin, he had darker skin, and he had curly hair. That's what our records say as well. Like, now you depicted somebody who does not look at all like the person you're anticipating. And the Christians are very, I don't know if I'm pronouncing the word correctly, messianic or whatever. They're awaiting a Messiah. It's a very big part of their belief system. They're very, I cannot wait for the return of the Christ. I can't wait. So, which Christ are they waiting for? Also, don't forget, they are waiting for a man to come and tell them, worship me. Who's that going to be? Dajjal. So look how they added details and landed themselves in a trap. When Isa alayhi salam comes and he has curly hair and he looks like an Arab, who they reject. I remember one sheikh was saying, this is like during Trump's first term, if Jesus, when they were saying ban the Muslims, he said, if Jesus himself alayhi salam returned and tried to come to America, you would ban him. Because he looks like the people you hate. This is the person you worship. That's insane, isn't it? They've set themselves in such a trap that the person they've claimed to wait for 2,000 years straight, when he does return, and he will return, inshallah, they set themselves up to reject him. That's the scariest thing ever. And who will they worship? They worship the guy who says, worship me. And he's ready. He said, yeah, fine, worship me. You ready? You guys are waiting for somebody to bow to? Bow to me. And guess what? I'll bring back your parents and they'll tell you, I'll bring you gold. The Prophet ﷺ said he will extract the gold and the jewels from the lands, and it will rain in his lands, but not in other lands. He will have a lot of fitna with him, and they will worship, they'll bow down to him. The Prophet ﷺ told us, how do you know that the Dajjal is a fake? He will ask you to worship him. There's many other signs. But he said, no prophet of God, no sincere believer, no leader will ever tell you to ever bow to him or worship him or anything. Period. And Dajjal is one-eyed, and your Lord is not one-eyed, and so on and so forth. And Dajjal comes first, then Isa alayhi salam. Because Isa comes to destroy him. So the Christians are awaiting Dajjal and Isa. They believe in an antichrist as well. And so do the Jews. They believe in antichrist. So some scholars have mentioned, because Allah says, وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ. Allah says in the Quran, the people of Ahlul Kitab, every last one of them, by the time of his death, Isa alayhi salam, his natural life and death, which is roughly, some scholars mention, based on hadith, 40 years. He'll come and stay for 40 years. By his end of his life, every person of Ahlul Kitab will either have fought him or believed in him. Meaning some will initially, this is my theory, Wallahu A'lam, when Dajjal comes, they will initially worship him because that's who they wait for. But when Isa alayhi salam comes and kills Dajjal, and he has all the signs of Jesus, some Christians will snap out of it. They will be gifted with that and say, well, our God just died, and clearly this is the right Christ, and they will snap out of it and worship, not worship, astaghfirullah, they will submit to Allah, say la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and follow Isa alayhi salam, the correct Isa, and become a believer. And this is supported by the ayah, وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ. That is not my thesis. My addition was that part about, well, I can assume that some people, when Dajjal is killed, they will snap out of it. That makes sense, right? But that ayah, the scholars have talked about it in the tafsir, that is what that means, that some Christians and Jews will accept Isa alayhi salam as a prophet and become believers in the last days. So we said Isa alayhi salam will stick around roughly, the estimates are from 7 to 40 years. How long will Dajjal be here? 40 days. But, there's a but. But the first day will feel like a year. The second day will feel like a month. The third day will feel like a week. And the next 37 days will be regular days. So it will be 1 year, 1 month, 1 week, and 37 days. 1 year and 2 months, plus minus. So the Prophet ﷺ said, this will be the biggest test mankind has ever faced. And it will last for about a year and 2 months. The believers will be at starvation's door. The Prophet ﷺ said, the crops will not grow in the land of the believers. It will not rain in the land of the believers, only in the land of the dead. That's how tough the test will be. But he said, be patient. It is a year and 2 months. So you can be patient for a year and 2 months. And the Sahaba, they were so, the biggest concern was not if we're going to eat. They said, what did they say? Oh yeah, Umar Jawla, how will we pray? Should we pray just 40 days worth or a year and 2 months worth? He said, no, pray the year and 2 months. I'm paraphrasing, of course, the hadith. That was their biggest concern, subhanAllah. May Allah allow us to follow in their footsteps and may Allah accept them. So it's a short time and it's a time of extreme patience. And the Prophet ﷺ said the believers will receive sustenance through their tasbih and their tahleel. SubhanAllah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa quwwata illa billah. That will be their food and drink for the time being. It will be a very difficult time. May Allah protect us from it. Okay, so I didn't mention Mahdi, not because he's not authentic. Mahdi is absolutely authentic. Al-Mahdi is a whole topic by himself. He is actually one of the, is he a major sign or a minor sign? Who says major? Raise your hand. Who says minor? He is absolutely a minor sign. He's not mentioned in any of the hadiths about the major signs, the 10 major signs of the Day of Judgment. And the Prophet ﷺ said, count 10 major signs. He said it himself, that exact number. Mahdi is not a major sign, he's a minor sign. He's in fact one of the absolute last of the minor signs. Okay, but that doesn't make him any less valuable, but just to give you a timeline. Al-Mahdi will come. We don't know if he will meet Isa alayhi salam directly. There's a lot of evidence for that, but it's not clear cut. And there is, he may live and die in righteousness, and then years might pass, and then Isa alayhi salam and Dajjal comes. So only Allah knows. However, Al-Mahdi, it refers to, it's translated as the guided one, the rightly guided one. He will be a person from the lineage of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will descend, his bloodline will go back to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name will be like the Prophet's name, and his father's name will be like the Prophet's father's name. So his name will be either Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad the son of Abdullah, or Ahmad ibn Abdullah, Ahmad the son of Abdullah, one of those two, most likely Muhammad. However, we will, you know, observe and see. And he will come at a time where the ummah needs him the most, and he will be righteous and he will be sincere, and a lot of tyrants amongst the Muslim world will seek to destroy him, and Allah will not allow him to be destroyed, and the sincere will follow him and pledge to him, of course. And there will be signs. We'd have to make this a whole topic by itself, but it is true, we do believe in Al-Mahdi. His name will be Muhammad ibn Abdullah, and he will be a sincere believer. But beware, because specifically about him, there's a lot of fake details, fabricated hadiths, made up knowledge that is just not true, and we cannot source it to Quran or Sunnah. So respectfully, we have to reject it for our own good. Because if we add details and we're awaiting details that are not going to come, we're going to reject the righteous person when he shows up. Because hey, we're waiting for you to come out of a cave. We're waiting for you to have X or Y or Z. Why are you waiting? That where did you source that details from? Same problem that the Christians did. They're waiting for things that Isa alayhi salam did not tell them to wait for. And it will land them in deep trouble. May Allah protect us from that. So that's the threat. That's the fear of waiting for such, of adding false details. You end up following the wrong people and you reject the right people at the most critical times when you cannot afford to make that such a mistake. May Allah protect us from that. All right. So now, let's answer a question. What is the point of believing in the signs of the Day of Judgment? It's very fascinating stuff. It's very captivating. Oh my God, I can't believe it. But what value is there to us as believers? Because Allah only gives us information that's valuable. So where do we benefit? Yes. Okay, number one, some of them, if you face them, you know what to expect and what to do. Because some of them, there's nothing to do about it, like the tall buildings one. Like, what's there for, there's no actionable item. But, so you face it, if you face Dajjal, the Prophet ﷺ said, what did he give advice? He said, run away. You will not defeat him until Isa alayhi salam is the only one who can defeat him. And a believer will walk up to him intending to challenge him and will leave the conversation having believed in him. Because he's so convincing and so powerful and so threatening. One way or the other, he'll convince you either by the magic tricks or by pressure, killing you on the spot. Some people will fall. He said, do not challenge him. Run. Some believers will and they will be shuhada and may Allah accept them. But he said, my advice to you is to go the opposite direction. So you know what to expect. Some of them are not actionable in that regard. There's nothing to do about it. Like the widespread riba, try to avoid it, but that we already knew that. But it just, what's the value of the ones that we can't really do anything about, like the tall buildings and the Mecca becoming more green and stuff? What value do we derive from those ones? Yes. هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. You say, oh, this is exactly what the Prophet ﷺ said. Look at this, it's happening exactly. The barefoot Arabs are building the tallest buildings. Look at that, Mecca is becoming green again. Look, proof that Mecca was green once upon a time. Look, it's exactly what's like everything. What else? We have a whole, we have a lot of lists of the minor signs of the day of judgment. Honesty will be taken away from the people. There will come a time where the people will consume riba. Whoever does not consume it will be affected by its dust. The sun will rise from the west. That's the very end. Many others, but we mentioned plenty, right? Ignorance will prevail. Alcoholic drinks will be common. And so on and so forth. So yes, when you see it happening for your eyes, it increases your iman. When you're dealing with difficulty, it increases your iman. Say, no, I cannot doubt my faith because look at the hundreds of prophecies that have come true right before my eyes. مَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. The only person who could possibly have said this is someone who has revelation from God. So I'm going to keep my faith. Also, when the Prophet ﷺ told us about difficulties that will arise, and he said, be patient because there will be farajan qareeban. Ala inna nasrullahi qareeb. Indeed, Allah's victory is near. Good will prevail after evil. He gives you strength to keep going. Right? When the Prophet ﷺ said, yushaku an tada'a alaykum al-umam. He said, one day, every nation will gather around you. And they will pick you apart the same way they pick food. From invite each other to eat food. And he said, Allah will not remove this until you stop fearing death. And you stop hating death so much, and you stop حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت, loving dunya so much and hating and fearing death. You got to go back to your roots as Muslims and be strong, fierce warriors. Go back to your deen and stop being obsessed about dunya, and Allah will lift this evil. So there's an instruction manual about how to lift this evil. And when he told us, there will be mulkan عَضًا, there will be harsh, difficult tyranny surrounding the ummah. And he said, the next generation, we talked about it in hadith in Jum'ah last year. He said, ثُمَّ تَكُونُ خِلَافَةٌ عَلَى مِنْهَاجِ النُّبُوَّةِ. The final stage of my ummah is a righteous khilafah on the path of prophethood once again. So when you see the stage that we're in, the difficult tyranny that we're watching, you get reassured and say, I mean, the only silver lining here is that the next stage is a righteous, good one of peace and prosperity. Let me power through. Let me keep planting seeds. Let me keep doing good because I want to be part of that and I want to live to see it. I know relief is around the corner. So these are the values that we get from this. Another value is that in da'wah, when somebody accepts Islam or when you're convincing somebody about Islam, you tell him, look at these prophecies that have come true. A lot of people anybody here who has accepted Islam, any converts who this was part of your journey? Is there something, can you share with us something if you'd like? Like, what role did this play in your journey? Or signs of the Day of Judgment or prophecies, did it play any role?
It helped me. It helped me back to the
Yeah. SubhanAllah. Jazakallah khair. So it reassures you about that there's more to it after death. SubhanAllah. So what about like the prophecy? Did it ever like catch your eye that prophecies have come true that Islam has made? Yes. SubhanAllah, I read that too. SubhanAllah. So it's like a winding something, you know, when you wind something and just wait, you let go and it just goes the other way. SubhanAllah. I remember reading an article a couple of weeks ago, I actually shared it on internet. It said that the earth's core has started to rotate, the core itself has started to rotate in the opposite direction. And I don't know if that's a sign that it starts with the core, then it becomes the mantle and then the crust. Allahu A'lam, but it was a scary article to read, you know. So it's like signs that the end is near, wallahu alam. And the increase of earthquakes, the increase of wildfires. This stuff, like for me, it's scary. Because we've had the biggest wildfires recorded in human history in the past couple of years. Millions of acres have burned in the US and Canada. Millions. Like I can't even fathom millions of acres of trees. The biggest wildfires. And the state of our forests in our era is actually at high alert. It's very problematic. We actually had a drought. The biggest drought in 100 years in New York last month in October. Well, two, three months ago. The biggest drought in 100 years for that season. We didn't have rain for like, I think, 40, 50 days straight, which is, I think, the first time in like, again, in 100 years in New York, SubhanAllah. Which, and it actually had, because we went camping with the youth, and they actually had a wildfire warning for the first time in my life in that region. They said, these are the rules. like no fires here, no this. And I was like, SubhanAllah, man. It's a wet season too, like October. But so these kind of things are very scary, because the Prophet said also before Dajjal comes, there will be droughts and there'll be the earth will withhold its crops and the sky will withhold its rain. May Allah protect us from all these things. So there is value in these things. Now I'll mention two more things. I just want to go through the 10 signs very quickly. And I also want to just say, what is the function? We said, what is the value that, what's the point of believing in them? We mentioned all these things. It increases your iman. Some of them warn you what to do when it comes, what to avoid, Dajjal, Ya'juj, Ma'juj, this and that. Also who to follow when they come, to know their signs, know what they will bring and so on and so forth. Know where problems may occur. The Prophet ﷺ said, the Euphrates River will dry up and it will uncover a mountain of gold. If you are alive at that time, don't come near it. Most people will fight for it and most people will die and fail. And he said, do not come near it. It's cursed, basically. So now when you look up the news, the Euphrates River, which is one of the biggest rivers in mankind's history, has provided civilization for thousands of years. They estimate by 2040, it'll be fully dried up. And if you look at aerial photographs from 2005 and now 20 years later, it's fascinating. It's scary. Check it up, like when you get some free time. Aerial photographs of the Euphrates River. It's like, I don't know what the number, like percent, it shrunk 50% or more in just the past couple of decades. And they're estimating by 2040 it'll be completely or dried up enough that Allahu alam what it will uncover. We know, mountain of gold, but I what else? That's a cradle of civilization. I wonder how many civilizations are buried under there with all their secrets that will come out. So yes, that's a warning of what to do and what not to do. But here is a potential pitfall, and this is what I want to end our note with. Beware of being a doomer gloomer. You know, like doomsday person. We believe in some prophecies about doomsday, but the Prophet ﷺ never taught us to sit, you know, some people like they go to an extreme, right? And they believe, well, the end times are right around the corner, everything's collapsing overnight, and therefore, basically there's no point participating in society. You know, and this happened in 2012. Remember the Mayan calendar and stuff like that? Do you remember all that stuff? Some people, true story, they sold their property. Some people maxed out their credit cards. They got a lot of credit cards, maxed them out, $40,000, $50,000, and said, the world's ending in a year. Some people like sold all their property and like what they ruined their lives. This is a true story here in America. And then they just went, you know, basically said, let's live my life. They went to, got drunk, Las Vegas. And then a month passes, 2 months, 6 months, but they're like, hey, nothing happened. And now their life is completely ruined. So that's obviously never been, you know, the Prophet ﷺ who told us, I was sent with the hour like this. He also said, if the day of judgment is coming and you in your hand is a fasila, is a plant, what did he say to do? Plant it. He said, if you see the day of judgment yourself, it's starting now. What's the point? I'm going to plant this thing. It'll take 5 years to grow. He said, plant it. That is the mentality of a believer. Don't say the world's ending. You might as well destroy everything. The world's ending. Nothing matters. Let me get max out my credit cards and all this nonsense. No, he said, live your life. Live your life. Plant the seeds. You don't know. You know, there are scholars, esteemed, respected scholars, may Allah bless them and accept from them. There are scholars from hundreds of years ago, particularly one example, from when the Mongols were invading the Muslim lands. The Mongols ransacked the world like you never believe. They destroyed and murdered millions and billions of people. There's many scholars, their works, they wrote, they were alive at the time. They said, this looks like it's the last generation. I cannot imagine the world existing after this. This is pure destruction. That's 100, 700 plus years ago. They said, I think this is the last generation. Now imagine they continued to do homework, do work, and provide knowledge and teach people until they died. Imagine they just sat there and said, oh, it's the last generation, might as well just go hide in a cave and wait for the dead. That's not, they would have been wrong by 800 plus years. So what if we're wrong by 800 plus years? You never know. So build, plant seeds, build a community for your kids. The way that you build as if this message will last another 500 years, inshallah. And your kids and their kids and their kids will have a place to call home and to build their iman. Plant seeds like the generation before Salah ad-Din. You had Nur ad-Din Zinki and others. They built the foundation for the Salah ad-Din. When Salah ad-Din conquered Jerusalem and reconquered it, brought it back to the Muslim lands after 93 years, the adhan was finally heard again in Jerusalem. May Allah Ta'ala free Al-Quds in our lifetime. The people who, for those entire 93 years, there's people who lived and died without a single adhan being heard there. And they still kept the hope alive, they still planted seeds, they still built the next generation. Because if our generation doesn't do it, the next one will. If they gave up and said, khalas, I mean, it's the end of the world, whatever. That's not a mindset of a believer. So beware, because any Any belief can go to an extreme, and that would be an extreme here. We never lose faith. We never lose hope. We never say, well, just build a bunker and live in there till the end of times, right? You should take precaution. You should, like Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, he told them, hey, we're living in a time of abundance, but in 7 years, we're going to have drought. So build towards, like, protect yourselves for that drought. That's perfectly fine. But do not go to an extreme. Do not abandon civilization. It makes you lazy. It makes you fearful. It makes you mistrusting of everything, and there's no hope in life anyway. And then you actually harm yourself. And that is not the way of the believer. A lot of these people eventually snap out of it when it's like very late in life, and they're just so far behind everybody else, and their families are far behind, and it's just a terrible position to put yourself in. So we should believe in these signs. We should study the authentic signs so we can know them when they come. We should increase our iman. We should increase our sense of urgency about this dunya. Like, wow, 100 signs have come true. What do we do tomorrow if we see news of the Euphrates River drying up? What do we do tomorrow if there's this sign and that sign and that sign, right? Look at what's happening in Palestine and Syria and these places, and Iraq and Egypt, as mentioned in the hadith, and Yemen, as mentioned in the hadith. Like, it's happening right before our eyes. So that should create a sense of, oh my God, like, it increases your iman, but it creates a sense of urgency. I'm living in one of the end times. I don't know how long it'll last, but it's clearly the last couple of generations. And now finally, I'll end it with just listing the 10 signs, the 10 major signs of the Day of Judgment. Number one is Ad-Dajjal, the Antichrist. Number two is the return of Jesus, alayhi salam. Number three is Gog and Magog, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, two tribes that will ransack the world. Number four is three landslides, major ones. One in the east, one in the west, and one in the Arabian Peninsula. Number seven is smoke, Ad-Dukhan, as Allah says in the Quran. A smoke will arise surrounding the world. Number eight, the rising of the sun from the west. And number eight and number nine, I'm not certain. I think the beast may come before it. Anyway, number eight is the rising of the sun from the west or from its resting place. And number nine is the beast, Dabbatul Ard, which is also found in Christian and Jewish scripture. And then number 10 is the final major fire that will gather the people. So these are not necessarily in direct order. Some of them we are pretty confident they're in that order, but the others, Allahu A'lam, they can overlap and so on. The ones that we're kind of confident about is that the Dajjal will be first, then Isa alayhi salam, then Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So if you are including the minor signs, it'll be Mahdi, then Dajjal, then Jesus alayhi salam, then Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and the rest, Allahu A'lam, they will be overlapping on some level. Wallahu ta'ala A'lam. Now these will require their own conversation, but these were mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sheikh Yasir Qadi also has a lecture series, I think it's like 10 lectures, about the Day of Judgment, the signs of the Day of Judgment, and he goes through in depth about each of these. So that's something you can, you know, put into your playlist and listen to while you drive, inshallah ta'ala. All right, jazakumullah khairan, guys. I'm really honored. I appreciate your attentiveness. I hope it was a beneficial topic. I hope we learned something that we can use for ourselves and our families.